Thomas Paine Podcast. We're doing a special edition here. It's Tuesday, December 15th, and at the behest and bequest of our subscribers on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, our subscriber platforms, and you've never met a finer bunch of individuals. They've been on my back for 2 days saying, put this interview with Robert F. Kennedy out. Put it out. Put it out. What are you doing? We played it. We debuted it for them over the weekend for the subscribers on those platforms, and they've been on my back literally daily saying, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? What's happening? Can we get this out to the general population? Can we get this out to everybody else? The message is too critical. The message is too key. The message is, in many cases, too frightening. But, you know, the truth, it's a funny thing these days. As I've said before, truth is a new hate speech, and that's exactly what has put a target on the back of a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and independent media, including yours truly, but nonetheless, we journey onward, and so that's what we're doing. We're putting this out, and it's no mistake. Actually, it's just happenstance, to be honest with you. This comes on the year anniversary of this podcast. The Thomas Paine Podcast is now 1 year old, and I can think of no better way than to roll this out to you folks in between Paines in the morning, which we did yesterday, which we have another one coming tomorrow. But the good folks on our platforms, subscriber platforms, and you should jump on if you're not on there already. We could use the help, for sure. But the good folks on those platforms said, come on, man, you got to this message. They were blown away by the interview, as I have been. I've listened to it probably five separate times to try to pick up everything, and you may find yourself in the same ballpark, in the same arena, having to listen to it time and time again. But that's okay. It's there for you. You can do that. The feedback has been stupendous, and as it should be. And you want to talk about eye-opening? It's a weird situation. I can't really tell you what it's going to say because it would be a spoiler alert. So I kind of have to throw you into this in the dark, so to speak. But, you know, when it comes to this vaccine, many of us have been in the dark and been led into a dark tunnel and told that it's somewhere that's going to be good for you, etc. Don't worry about it. It's safe. And we're finding out now time and time again with the news that's coming out on the folks that have taken it during the trial, the vaccine trials, has not been good. It's been very haphazard, say the least. And Mr. Kennedy goes into detail on that, and it's he rejoins the show. He rejoins the Thomas Paine Podcast. We've had him on before. He's turned out to be a good friend of the show. And what I'm going to do is I guess some small business first I want to take care of. And then I'm just going to, I think, replay the same show I did Saturday night. I mean, why reinvent the wheel? We don't need to do that. And so you'll hear me talking to the folks on our subscriber platforms. And they're the ones, again, who have urged me to put it out. They're good folks. And hopefully you'll think about or consider or actually join those platforms as well and become part of our community that we've built and we are continue to build and expand on. We're looking for smart people or people who want to learn and break out of the mold you've been stuffed into, the box you've been kept into for many times your whole life. So we're looking for people with the impeccable thirst for knowledge, to become better people, to understand how the game in DC is played. And there's no bigger game right now than COVID-19. And this vaccine is a game changer for all of us, as COVID-19 has been. So I try to focus on the things that matter, as I've said before on this show many, many, many times. There's a whole world out there that's trying to distract you from the big issues, and they make little issues seem like big issues in the media, but they're not. This is a kitchen table, I call it, issue. It affects everyone. And you are not exempt from that, and neither am I, and neither is Mr. Kennedy. And what he has to say is absolutely, I think, stunning and alarming. And but the truth can often be like that, folks. It's not pretty. That's why a lot of these stories you see, everything fits together like a nice little puzzle piece, and they put a nice bow on it. It's like, oh my God, it's too good to be true. Yeah, it is, because it's not true. So as you know, on here we try to deal in the truth, no matter what the blowback is or the backdraft is, and that's just the way we roll, and that's the way adults roll, by the way. That's the way adults roll. I will say at the outset of this, if you can share this with as many people as possible, I think you'll find yourself after listening to the interview that that's probably something you're going to want to do anyhow. That would be good for us. Helps us get around these overlords on social media, the these geeks that run messages that are counter to their ideologies, run them into the ground and try to bury them as far as they can. So it helps us kind of do an end run around those people. So if you could share it with the folks that are important in your life, the folks who may be considering getting this vaccine or who have publicly trumpeted that they are going to be one of the first people to get the vaccine, etc. I think this is a message for everyone should hear. And our goal here, my goal has been, we tell people the truth, we get them an alternate way, alternate intelligence, so that they can make informed, educated decisions in their life, no matter which way they go. At least they have the material, the truth to deal with, so they can make good decisions. Because when you make decisions based on garbage and misinformation and misdirection, it's usually a bad decision. And right now, the situation that we're all in, economically and everything else, emotionally, bad decisions, many of us are operating without a net. We're on a high wire every day. So bad decision, we really don't have the luxury of making a lot of bad decisions when the heat is on, so to speak. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Some of the emotional toll this is taking on people, COVID-19. As I want to have a quick note before we jump into this with something that's developed in the last day or two on here. And again, I don't know if I think on the show I come back on with a couple notes. So we'll just stick to if we're going to replay the original show, we'll just stick to that. Let's jump into this other thing real quick. I got this. And we appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for your support, and also for kicking me in the ass to get this out the door, and for your positive feedback and your rave reviews on this interview. I think folks who I'm speaking to now who have not listened to it yet will agree, and they there would be a collective agreement. This is a blockbuster interview. It's a bombshell is so overused now. Everybody's a bombshell. I have a bombshell. Okay. So, bombshell's played out. I understand that, but you have to call it what it is. If it's a bombshell and it truly is a bombshell, then you have to call it that. And that is up to you to decide, as our subscribers, several hundred, have already decided. So it's over 1,000 now, I guess. Yeah. Have already decided. So if you're not a subscriber and you want to jump in and get access to all this kind of stuff first, that's something we'll be focusing on 2021. And we're growing this. We're only a year old here, but we're making a lot of noise, and I plan to make even more noise in the second year. So happy birthday to the Thomas Paine podcast. We're not big on celebrating things when there's more important matters at hand, but maybe I'll have a cupcake tonight. Don't tell anybody. When everybody goes to bed, I'll go scrounging for a cupcake or something like that after I do my next show. On Monday, on Pain in the Morning on Monday, I don't know what happened. I had the show planned, and I just, after the opening music, I started, speaking of opening music, let's play a little music. What the hell? How about I Don't Need No Doctor by Humble Pie? That's Humble Pie. And you're about to get some humble pie, and I'm about to get some humble pie in the next couple of minutes when I read this to you, because it absolutely floored me. Humble pie, I don't need no doctor. That's prophetic. You don't need no shot either. Anyway, pain in the morning on Monday, I started talking about folks who aren't doing well and folks who are struggling emotionally, psychologically, and the parallels in my life when I was fighting the federal government and they were picking on me and my family and threatened my family, and my kids and my wife at gunpoint. Twice. Not once, but twice. You know my story. If not, it's in FBI pajamas. How we dismantled the FBI in our pajamas, my book I wrote 2 years ago. It was a recent surge this past couple months with sales. I don't, the thing won't, it won't go away. Anyway, if you don't know my story, you can research it on there or read on the Amazon page. But nonetheless, I'm no hero either. We all, at some point or another, have struggled with difficult peaks and valleys in our life, or mostly difficult valleys in our lives. So I start talking about during the holiday season, if you're feeling low and you're feeling like, hey, man, I want to cash in my chips, so to speak. You're at rock bottom, as I call rock bottom. I said help is always available with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 24 hours a day, all different kind of languages, 1-800-273-8255. There's also a chat available. It's suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And if you just go into your favorite search engine and type in suicide hotline, usually the number pops right up. And also there's a little box for a chat. If you don't feel like chatting with somebody on your phone or on your desktop or your, what do they call those things? Notepad. Showing my age there. 1-800-273-8255. But my message was to people, don't quit no matter what. You never can tell what's on the other side for you once you make it through the crucible, once you make it through tough times and run a gauntlet, so to speak, an emotional, psychological, and many times coupled with that is financial. Okay? They come hand in hand, okay? Gauntlet. That by staying in the game, there are better times ahead. And I've said in my life that was the case. And I was at a point during my struggles with the, and I've told you guys that's what the feds want to do. They want to break you, and they're set up to break you. They're vicious. They are vicious. They want to bankrupt you. They want to emotionally drain you. They want to ruin your marriage, ruin your family until you bleed out. They are, it's quite a formidable machine to go against. And having worked for them too, you know, a little bit of karma on the other side when you're on the other side of the table in the courtroom, you get a little bit of karma. It's like, I was part of this for a number of years working for these guys. They were out ruining other people. Well, it's very humbling. So we play a little humble pie and I don't need no doctor. And I think after listening to Bobby Kennedy Jr., you may agree. You may not need no vaccine either. Anyway, I got an email yesterday from somebody. I want to read it to you guys. I'm not going to say who it's from, but I want to read it to you. Mike, I've been going through some difficult days with dark thoughts more and more frequently lately, and this weekend was especially difficult. I spent most of yesterday, Sunday, burdened by thoughts of cashing in my chips. Every day, weekday, I clock in at 7 a.m., get in my work van and listen to Pain in the Morning. Today's show, Monday, almost brought me to tears with your message about not giving up and grinding it out for better days. It hit home so hard, and the timing was impeccable. I've been through the school of hard knocks. And as an adult, I am always reluctant to ask for anyone's help. But I just want you to know that today's show finally gave me the clarification in my mind that I can't do this by myself. Thank you for all the working you do. spread truth, and God bless you. Moving forward. So I got that, and I was like, geez. You know, that's powerful. And I wrote him back, and I hope that he's getting the help that he needs. But there is help out there, folks, is what I'm saying. And my mom taught me, you know, my coming up as a single parent and raising three kids, and many of you guys know the shitty story of my upbringing, but she never quit, and even when things were, times were tough and things like that, she never quit, and she wouldn't want us to quit, and we haven't, although, just like everybody else, there's been very challenging times, but as I said, help is available. National Suicide Prevention and Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. And like the individual who wrote me, he just came to the realization that, hey, maybe I need some help. I wrote him back. I guess I can read what I wrote. Hey, brother, it's fucking brutal when you reach that level. It looks grim as all hell, but that is just a mindset, really. Many times I found that I was being placed on me by what the media, TV, movies, etc., portrayed as and helped shape to what I was supposed to believe success was. It turns out that's not what success is about. And I found that should not be used. Who wrote this? This guy needs to learn some punctuation. And I found that should not be used as any barometer. What corporate nonsense we are waterboarded with on a daily basis. So I decided to retool or perish because I was there too where you were just a couple days ago. But I found there would likely never be a lower point in my life than that point. So that was the foundation I was at. So why not try to build up? Even small steps, fuck it. Even 3 steps forward, 2 steps back is okay as long as your attitude as you moving forward with the understanding that this is a marathon, not a sprint. That is important. Attitude turned out to be the key. Getting that mindset or changing your attitude can take some professional guidance. For me, I just decided that I would not end my bloodline of ancestors and relatives who were scrappers. And I put a chip on my shoulder, and it will probably be there until my journey ends here. But I talked to people to help get me clear. Once you survive this crucible, you really get fucking strong, too. I mean, wow, you look back and you can't believe where you started. Channel an inner badass, and if you never had it before, find it. Good days and bad days there are. But go to bed knowing you did your best you could, and if you didn't, then pledge to do better in everything you do the next day. Understand this is not a sprint, that's dangerous. Run or walk the marathon, but know it is a marathon. And use that as a barometer for your improvement. Be safe, brother. So, that says everything I wanted to say before this interview. It's a tough time of year, and it's exacerbated, by the way, by everything that's going on. It really is. And there are people out there. I've heard from other people that are really struggling. And when people are really struggling, I like to play a little Van Halen. That'll pep you up. Somebody give me a doctor. You know, at the end of the song, it says, somebody give me a shot. I don't think you're going to be feeling that way in the next few minutes. So I wanted to read that to folks. I think this show might or has the potential to go viral. You just get a feeling on these things. After a year, I'm starting to get a better feel for what's going on. So I wanted to talk about suicide, that there are folks to talk to if you're going through tough times. One more time, I'm throwing it at you. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. Somebody said, are you being paid by these guys, man? Is that what this shtick is about? You guess. There's some fucked up people out there, man. Whatever happened to compassion for your fellow human being and for mankind and for I mean, come on, man. No, I'm not being paid. I give a shit. maybe that's surprising to people in today's day and age, but hang in there, man. Don't quit. And these folks, 24/7, 365, talk to or chat with. So you have options. You have options. And I've said it before, you got to be tough for your family and your loved ones. You have to be a lighthouse and a beacon to those folks who are also going through tough times. And if you check out, man, that just puts more weight on those folks. They have to pick up the pieces. That's not cool, obviously. So be strong for your family. And if you're a person of faith, lean on your faith for answers and for any glimmer of hope you can get from that. But hang in there. Don't quit. All right, let's move into the bulk of the show here. There's so many things in this interview. So let's just jump in. Fuck it. I just wanted to get that out of the way because I thought we could potentially reach more people. Since, hey, we reached this guy. I reached this guy on Monday. We'll see what you think about that. Since we reached this guy on Monday, I thought, hey, I think we can maybe reach some more people. So hopefully we do. And if we are, see this as a sign that there are answers out there. Even at your lowest point, you can still find a light at the end of the tunnel. And as I said before, we want to make sure that we give you the information and the truth so that you can make sound decisions in your life. And that's what we're going to do now. So let me roll this out. Pain After Dark. What's up, folks? How you doing? Saturday night. We made it. We made it to Saturday. Let me get these lights set. I love the light. I'm sorry. I love the lights. I love lamp. Brick, are you saying you love lamp? I love lamp. I love these lamps. Boy, that's the way you started out, man. Oh, man. Wow. That's, that gives you vibrations, doesn't it? Good vibrations? What?
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sun.
Hey, man, is this guy a DJ or what's his story, man? I thought we were going to have some hard news tonight.
Got to ease into things, man. Hey, man. Yeah, ease into things. Yeah, hey, I hope you guys are having a good weekend, and we got a big show planned for you tonight, and so you don't have to hear me talk for like an hour and a half, which is, you know, usually the... We got Bobby Kennedy Jr. tonight, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We had an epic conversation about the vaccine and about the COVID. It's one thing after another, guys. And it's one thing to hear all this stuff from me on a daily basis. Be like, yeah, this guy, he's against the whole COVID-19 thing. But then you hear it. What I've been saying on a regular basis, on a daily basis since March, you hear that echoed again by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And when it comes to vaccines, who the hell am I compared to him, and who the hell is anybody else really compared to him? And there's just one incredible backstory after another in 2020 with Mr. Kennedy, and this is the second time that he's on the show. And the first time he dropped some bombs on Fauci and stuff like that, and then he was off and running. It was one of his first appearances on COVID-19. It was early in the process, and then that show went viral. And it's this thing pulsating, jumping. Wait a minute. That show went viral, okay? And we got a lot of notoriety. And people are like, who the hell is this Thomas Paine podcast? This guy's like working out of a shoebox or a phone booth. And I am. And that's okay. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with keeping things simple and focusing on the message as opposed to having a fancy studio and all kind of overhead and producers and engineers and you know how it goes. We just keep it simple. But as long as we keep delivering people and good interviews and good intel, that's a winning combination. And so Mr. Kennedy comes back to the show. And as I was saying before I got these lights under control, my $20 light show, it's really paying off. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't, you don't have to be fancy. If you're thinking about doing like a podcast out there or something, do it. Get something going. It could take off. You don't know. It's not that crazily expensive anymore. And if you feel you have something to say and contribute, try it out. Who knows? Who knows where it can go? That's what has the regular media very scared, right? It has them scared because regular people now can... Where did that come from? Okay, we'll play. What the hell? It's not even in the rotation. Elvis just decided, hey, man, you're not doing Pain After Dark without me. Okay, Elvis, take it easy. Proud Mary, okay. It wasn't even in the rotation. It's not even on the menu. I have no idea where it came from. Well, you got to roll. Rolling on the river, you got to roll with it sometimes. And this is an informal setting. Pain After Dark for our subscribers on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit as a way to thank you folks for rolling this interview out to you guys. Initially, first and foremost to you folks. And I don't really have to say too much about the interview because it's really something else. I'll talk a little bit on the back end. My instincts rarely fail me. I've been noticing this election scheme and all these election propaganda and everything else, post-election propaganda, and I started to think, you know what's messed up? All this stuff is going on and people are really distracted, but the FDA is scheduled to vote on vaccine this past week. So about a week and a half ago, I said, I got to get Bobby Kennedy back on here to talk about this vaccine. I didn't think they were going to fast-track it. The FDA as fast as they did, but for some reason the White House threatened the FDA that if they didn't if they didn't approve the vaccine by yesterday, Friday, end of day, that the FDA director would be fired. Well, that's reassuring, right? It doesn't really matter. The whole thing's a sham. I've been saying that for a long time. The vaccine is a sham, and now you get to hear it from somebody else and better explain than I do, because he has a background, been doing this a long time. And so about a week and a half ago, I don't know when it was, I just got this overwhelming idea in my head in a wave. I said, I have to call Bobby and set this up, because it takes a while to wrangle him. His schedule is so slammed. And the fact that he fit us in again and we're going to be able to break some news off of this. And as I said before, he tends to say things here that he doesn't say other places, and that's good. We have a pretty good rapport off the air and on the air. This time, because of... it's so much crucial information, I just took a step back. I just wound him up and said, let's go. He called me up. It's like right away. I'm like, look, we don't got time to mess around. Let's get right into this vaccine thing. And then I take a step back. Some hosts or journalists or broadcasters, they will talk over their guests. They will interrupt them needlessly. I think they do it. I've been watching and listening the last year. I've been a student of this industry since I came up in print. I came up in newspapers. So I came up in print. And we've been doing print for the last 4.5 years since we jumped back into journalism before the 2016 election. So I've been studying a lot of people, and I decided the best way for me to handle these things is just be like I am when you're conducting an interrogation or an interview with a criminal suspect. I'm just going to be myself. And part of that strategy is you just let the people talk. And you don't put up too much resistance, and you just let them talk. And if you want to redirect them to a certain topic or a certain path of the conversation, you can redirect. But I find that it's their time. They're the guests. So just let them talk. Every now and then I'll jump in. But when time's limited, I want to get my money's worth, just like I do for you guys, because the topics here are so crucial. They're crucial, man. And I think it's ironic, but I kind of understood this at the time, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. I tend to think ahead from where we are. Like right now, I'm thinking into the new year, and I tend to think that this election mayhem after the election was timed to run right up into a butt the rollout of this vaccine to keep people as confused as they can or as frustrated. I don't know. I don't believe in coincidences. I stopped believing in them a long time ago. Why is this playing? Something's gone off the reservation here. We need to hold the wire. Something has gone off the reservation. There's no doubt about it. It's never boring. I have a funny story to tell you about the interview as well. I'm playing some California tunes for Mr. Kennedy. I said I stopped believing in coincidences a long time ago when you get further into criminal investigations and things like that. It's dangerous to think about happenstance and things along those lines. So I think it's just incredible how, okay, the election lawsuits and the controversy runs up and it's hit a peak, and then what takes over next? The vaccines. But if you were distracted for the last 5 weeks, you didn't see this coming. That's how a lot of people are. It's human nature, right? You get wrapped up in certain things. But this is important. I'm having some coffee here, trying to stay fit. Fit as a fiddle on a microphone on a Saturday night. Right now it's 9:30 p.m. Something like that, 9:30. My eyesight's gone. And I'm going to roll this out, and I'm going to mix the other part, and we're going to get this thing out. Hopefully around 11 p.m. we'll cut it loose to our subscribers on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And if you haven't figured it out, we're very gracious for the support, and we will continue to roll things out to you guys at a big interview like this. I said, got to put this out right away. I said, nah. Take our time. Oh, the young bucks here. Let's get this out, man. Let's get this out. I said, it'll get out eventually. We'll take our time. Everybody's in a damn hurry these days. I got to play the little Loretta Lynn for people and let them know I mean business around here. Let them know who's the boss around here. You keep lying when you ought to be true, then. Some of this stuff I thought a lot about the interview. And a lot of it parallels what I've been thinking. But, of course, Bobby has such a unique way of delivering things. And some of the things he says about the proactive steps he took and his folks took at his foundation to tap, and I'll get to the foundation at the on the back end, give you websites and everything, to try to tackle the inconsistencies and some of the trap doors and pitfalls of this vaccine before it was even made public. And it is public now. The Pfizer vaccine is public. And what happened from the government side, how they treated him is absolutely incredible. It should tell you a lot about your government. And it should tell you a lot about the FDA and guys like Fauci who are in bed with Big Pharma 100%. It's also make you scratch your head about, you know, we talk about President Trump and why he allowed Fauci to run wild. And Bobby has some interesting perspective on that. I think that I'm trying not to be a spoiler. This thing is just playing whatever song it wants, but I'm okay with the music. I don't know what has happened. It's gone haywire, but we'll play a little Don Henley. There's nothing wrong with him. Heart of the matter. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow. But speaking of that, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but I think he'll make it pretty clear that you'd have to be almost insane to line up for this vaccine. And I think that's a general message. And that's the way I've been feeling about it. And that's pretty much what we've been preaching here since March. You know, these guys are not your friends. I know there's a lot of people who think that the current administration are your friends and they're trying to do X, Y, and Z in the White House. They're not your friends. they're simply not. There's nobody in D.C. who are your friends. I've been trying to preach this to you folks for a long time now. On the Moore Payne Show, it's 2.5 years old. Before we started this podcast, I think Tuesday is a year anniversary of this podcast. But I've been trying to tell you folks that there's no friends of yours in D.C. There's not two parties in D.C. There's one. They pretend that there's two parties so they can divide and conquer us out here. But what it breaks down to is just the haves versus the have-nots. Evil versus good. And them versus you. And them versus us. It's as simple as that. And until you understand that there's not two parties down there, you're going to continue to find yourself bewildered on a regular basis. As everything that happens in D.C. defies logic. If you think inside the box of everything happens through the prism of party lines. If you actually understand and you use this as a baseline, that these guys in D.C. are working against you at every turn, both parties, you'll come to the fast realization that your world is much different. You see your world much much differently, and you can start to understand the game a lot better. Until you break out of that mold, you're going to be they have you pigeonholed intellectually and emotionally. And you almost have to rise above it and look at it from a different angle, as I've said. Now, Bobby Kennedy is one of those guys who has done that. He understands. He's a lawyer. He's had big lawsuits. He's no fan of Fauci. And he's currently writing a book on Fauci. I can't wait to read that. He's taken some stuff from us. We supplied some stuff to him he asked for. We gave him some research. It was no big deal. It's mostly public records. Some of them were 30 years old, but we gave it to him. And hope he puts those to good use. But he's been a good friend of this show. And the show is young. I mean, the sky's the limit for this show. But one of the things I wanted to do with this show, and one of the things I've always wanted to do as a journalist, is tell you something you don't know. We break stories. We do that all the time. We'll continue to do that. I've been doing that since I was a kid. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. So I uttermost confidence that will continue. It's something that's followed me my whole career in journalism and in intel. And even when I was working for Citigroup, I was ahead of the curve on a lot of things. Usually when I set my mind to something, I'm very proficient at it because there's no other reason than hard work. I put the time in and I like to work hard. I don't know what it is. I grew up watching my mom do it every day. So it's like, who the fuck am I? I'm no star. I'm no hero. I roll up the sleeves every day and go to work, just like she did. Some days are good, some days are bad. Just like you guys out there, right? But what Bobby says about these guys, I talk about a protection racket. I talk about things being rigged. It's the same thing. The parallels are unbelievable. And let's see if we can play the right song here before I get into the interview. Unbelievable, this thing. It just kind of went haywire. I haven't played any Jason Aldean in a while. It's Saturday night. We're kind of kicking back. So let's do that. Let me get a final zip of coffee here.
Yeah, I'm chilling on the dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Back in the day, Potts Farm was a place to go.
I get emails now. What's in your cup, man? You're drinking a lot of. You got whiskey in there? You talk about tequila. You got tequila in there? What's going on that cup? I said, you don't know what to. I might be wearing at the end of the week. This week could be another big week. I think it's going to be for us at least. I'll use a glass cup so you can see that I'm drinking coffee.
That could be Guinness, man. Some guy said, that could be Guinness.
I struggle enough sober, okay? You get me on here buzzed. The whole thing could be out the window. Getting a lot of good emails, and I appreciate them. And people sharing their love. I'm humbled by these emails. It's like, it's crazy. I just consider myself a guy who likes to tell people stuff they don't know. But I'm humbled when people ask me for their advice on what to do, and because they're in a bad position, and if I can help, I offer my help because I am as well a alumni of Hard Knocks University, and a lot of us are, whether you like it or not, a lot of us have been enrolled in Hard Knock U, and we're going to remain enrolled in Hard Knock U
what's the thing to come? Things to come. My challenge is for my family, personally, I'll tell you straight out, to make sure that we don't get fucked up health-wise. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the stuff they're trying to shove down your throat with this vaccine. And keep that in mind when you listen to Mr. Kennedy. They're trying to shove this down your throat. They're trying to waterboard this. And this is chemicals they're trying to put in. Some of this stuff alters your DNA. And when I said in March and April, they want... People said, well, what's the point of this whole thing? They want everything from you. That's absurd. No, it's not. I talked with it with John Moynihan about it. And he's the one who brought it up, that this is a disparity operation. They want to take money from the middle class, lower middle class, kick it up, and pretty much wipe out the middle class. And tell me that hasn't been done. And I agreed with them. But I took it a step further. I said, they want it all. You got savings, they want it. You got a business, they want to ruin it. You got whatever you have going on, they want a piece of. See, I didn't even play that. We'll play a little Rambling Man, and we'll switch it up. They want a piece of, okay? These guys are a traveling band of bandits. Whether it's New York, you saw New York, Pennsylvania, they all do things together. They're bandits. They're a traveling band of communist psychos. I hope to have one of my buddies on here who owns a restaurant. There's so many things going on. Anyway, getting back to the original point. They want to ruin you. They want to. So I took it a step further. I said, they want everything. They'll take your DNA and fuck with that too. And people say, you're completely out of control. That was in March or April. Now look at it. Okay? It wasn't so out of control, was it? Now that we have the advantage and the gift of time to go back and examine these things that were said, it's not so crazy. It's not so crazy. So let's get into the interview with Bobby Kennedy. On the video, I don't know what happened. I took video of myself talking to him like I do often on here. And first 10 or 15 minutes, the video froze. But then it kicks in after that. So you'll be looking just at a still screen for 10 or 15 minutes. And then it kind of corrects itself. But it's no big deal. The audio is what's important. And as I said, I'm running a garage band here. But I like it. I like keeping things simple. And there's something. Somebody said to me today, are you going to get like a studio, man? What's going to go? Are you going to like beef things up? I said, I don't think so. Why? If anything, I'll change things around. Maybe build a little bit better studio in my house or something, maybe. But I don't think I'm going to go get a studio. A big fancy studio like everybody else. What's the point? I'd rather focus on the message and the intel and stay focused on COVID-19 instead of build myself a studio. Who the fuck am I? We have serious issues. I got a lot of neon beer signs laying around. That'll be my studio. It looked like a fraternity house in here. That's where my head's at mentally. I have to tell you a funny story. I alluded to it earlier. When I was talking to Bobby, I'll give you a little humble story. Our roof is in bad shape, okay? So they're working on my roof. I've done some work on my roof. When it rains really hard, we got some leaks. So we've been plugging those up, you know, moving the pots around and stuff like that. Just the way it is, okay? I'm just we're struggling to make ends meet like a lot of people, right? But I was supposed to talk to him, and then it got postponed. So we I didn't like the time or something. Something happened. So we kicked it to the next day, but it was the day a roofer came. So while I'm talking to them, they are beating on my roof. I minimized it pretty well with filters and things like that. I'm getting a little bit better at that. But at one point off the air, he says, "Is everything okay there?" I said, "Bobby, you don't even want to know what's going on here. You don't even want to know." So, again, it's very gracious that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. joined us again and continues to be a good friend of the show and a good resource to cut out the government bullshit and get to the bottom of things. Let's jump into the interview. I'll come back at the end of the interview for a little bit, some final thoughts and some other things, but I won't talk that long, so we'll wrap this thing up. I never get sick of it. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I agree.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. Is this a, just an audio interview or is it video?
Yeah, we'll just do audio.
Okay.
That works for you. You don't have to look so damn handsome.
Yeah, no.
I know you've been busy.
It saves about 2.5 hours of my time. Make it look okay.
Well, some guys, you know, are better looking than others. Take it from me. I have a face for radio. Everybody says I have a face for radio. I wanted to get down to right down to business because we have a lot to talk about. What I know you've been busy. I've watched some of your statements and your publications on vaccines, on this vaccine that's coming up. What's your general take on it? I don't want to slant it with my editorializing, but what's your general take on this vaccine?
Well, we really don't have enough data to evaluate whether the vaccine will cause more problems than it will avert. They say it's 95% efficacy, but there were really only 100 people whose experience they're basing that estimate on. So what they did is the Pfizer vaccine, they gave it to 22,000 people and they gave 22,000 people the placebo. And then they waited till essentially 100 people got sick from COVID. And 90 of those, roughly, were in the placebo group. And only 10 were in the vaccine group. So that is the basis of the claim that it's 90% effective. But most people, when they hear that claim, they're thinking in terms of absolute risk. So most people are thinking, okay, all of us are going to get COVID, and this means 9 out of 10 people won't. But that's not what it means, because very few people get COVID in the first place. In this case, it was, I don't know what, 1 or 2% of the population. And there's no indication that the vaccine prevents deaths or serious illness, because we didn't see anybody die in the placebo group and or get really seriously sick. So we know, and the way that they judge whether or not you had COVID was one positive PCR test and one symptom. So that could be a cough, it could be fever, it could be a headache, it could be chills, it could be loss of taste. And, you know, but if you look at absolute risk rather than relative risk, which is the metric that they're using, what it means is you have to give 200 vaccines, 220 vaccines to avert one case of COVID, of mild COVID. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, what happened? You know, what's the risk of giving 220 people that vaccine or 220 million? how many adverse events are you going to see? And in the Moderna vaccine, we know that after the second dose, 100% of the people got adverse events, and that 21% in the high-dose group got serious, which are what they call class 3 events, which FDA defines as hospitalization or medical intervention required. So those are like life-threatening. And 6% of the people in the low-dose group. So if you give this to 220 people who have heard one case of COVID, you may be causing 13 of those people to be hospitalized because of the vaccine. This is by their own numbers. And then there was a lot of stuff that we saw that is just emerging now. For example, in older people, there was 10 times the level of adverse event after the second vaccine that they got during the first vaccine. And what that indicates is a phenomenon called pathogenic priming, possibly. And pathogenic priming, and I think you and I talked about this before.
Yes.
In all the coronavirus vaccines that have been developed in the past, they've had to abandon the project because what happened is people would get the shot. They would get a very robust antibody response, but then when they got exposed to the wild virus, instead of resisting it, they got much sicker than unvaccinated people, and some of them died. And everybody, including Paul Offit and Tony Fauci and Peter Hotez, the biggest boosters of vaccines, has said we really got to watch out for pathogenic priming. But the animal studies were extremely limited or didn't exist, so there was no opportunity to see whether it was going to cause pathogenic priming. But what the indicator at after the second vaccine, you're getting much sicker than after the first vaccine, is a very, very concerning signal that pathogenic priming is, in fact, occurring. Now, there's another really serious issue, which is we wrote Fauci and Peter Marks, who's the head of FDA, and we said to them, this was in September 5th, and I wrote the letter to them, and I said, these vaccines, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, contain pegylated nanoparticles, so they have little tiny, robot-like particles that they put in these vaccines, and they coat them with polyethylene glycol, which is a chemical that is toxic, and it prompts allergic reactions, and particularly if you've been exposed to PEG, they call it PEG before. There are many industries where the exposure is ubiquitous. For example, there's a lot of actors that have very, very high level of PEG antibodies because it's in dry ice. And, if you've acted on a film where they've used dry ice to create that fog effect,
right,
you're breathing that and you now have permanent antibodies to it. And people, about 72% of the American public, have antibodies to PEG. And about 8% of those have enough antibodies that it could provoke an anaphylactic, life-threatening allergic reaction. And when we looked at the clinical trial protocols, we noticed that they were not warning people who took part in the protocols that this was a risk. That's illegal. You got to tell the people the risk. We wrote letters to Peter Marks and Anthony Fauci, and Fauci ignored it. Peter Marks wrote back and said, well, this is something you should talk to the company about. Don't talk to me about it. So he washed his hands like Pontius Pilate. And then when they rolled out the vaccine 3 days ago in the UK, they rolled out to a very small number of front care health workers from the National Health Service. So doctors and nurses got it first. Two of those people got anaphylactic reactions. Their lives were saved because they had EpiPens with them. But Pfizer and government officials subsequently acknowledged that it was probably because of the pay. And so the thing that we've been warning them about is actually happening. And our question was, why didn't they see this when they gave out the vaccine to the 22,000 people? Why didn't they see more anaphylaxis, which we would have predicted? As it turns out, and this has just come out this morning, Pfizer excluded all people from the test, the trial group, if they had indicators, previous indicators of allergic reactions to anything. And so what it did was it got rid of the vulnerable subgroup in the trial study. But when it gave this to the general population, it did not tell the people, if you have allergic reactions, you shouldn't take this because we've never tested it for safety on people like you. They simply went ahead and gave it to these people, and two of them had anaphylactic reactions. So, you know, what I would say the moral of that story is that we cannot trust the government agencies, and we cannot trust the companies that are making these vaccines to keep us safe, and to do the right calculations, and to issue the right kind of warnings. And we cannot trust the government agencies that are supposed to ensure they're safe, to really regulate this, you know, this out-of-control industry.
What does it come down to then? Is this just about money? Is that what this is about? Or what is it about?
Look at what they're doing. This is, you know, what Senator Ron Johnson, when he did his hearings this week, he was like, why aren't we spending money on therapeutic drugs like ivermectin, which we know works, and hydroxychloroquine, which we know works, our early intervention drugs? So if somebody gets it, you give it to them in the first 7 days, and according to dozens and dozens of studies, 90% of those people will end up the number of those people who will end up in hospitals is reduced by 90%. Oh, you use these therapeutic drugs and you've essentially almost immediately dropped the infection fatality rate of COVID to less than the seasonal flu. And then we don't have to worry. We can all go back to work. We can take off our masks. We can live daily lives. But why is it that Tony Fauci is blocking these drugs that we know work? And having, you know, only one exit from this crisis, and that is that we all get injected with his vaccine. And he has spent $18 billion on vaccines and only $1.4 billion on therapeutic drugs. The drugs he spent that money on are patented medications with new patents on them, like remdesivir, that doesn't work, but it will enrich his, you know, buddies at Gilead, and Bill Gates' buddies at Gilead.
Oh yeah,
you know, Gates is happily invested in. So he's not trying to stop this crisis. He's trying to prolong it and usher us into, you know, the little corral, into the chute, you know, from the corral into the chute. And at the end of that chute is, you know, the vaccine slaughterhouse. So, I'm not saying this based on speculation. There are, you know, we're watching this happen in front of us. And there's really no other, you know, benign interpretation of his conduct. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, Kate, did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm letting you talk. You said your interpretation of his conduct?
Well, I don't think that there, I mean, I have not been able to find a benign interpretation of this, of his conduct. You know, if I could, I would tell you, I would say it's possible that he's doing this for this. It's possible he has good reason for doing this. But, you know, I've looked at his conduct with hydroxychloroquine, in which, you know, they did these studies that were fixed. Instead of doing, you know, what he's always said is we need randomized placebo-controlled studies. And when it came down to it, he only allowed randomized placebo-controlled studies of people who were in ICU units. And everybody has said, you can't do that because it doesn't work once you're in the ICU. These are early intervention medications. You give them to them as soon as you test positive, you give it to the patient, and they never go to the ICU. If you give it to them once they get the ICU, there is no benefit. And yet, all of the studies that he used, he would only allow testing in the ICU. The other thing for hydroxychloroquine, it only works if you give it in a cocktail with Zithromax and zinc. And in the studies that he commissioned, they did not use Zithromax and zinc. So the studies, his studies were designed to fail. And he knows that because we told him, many, many other people told him, and he was criticized in the scientific literature for it. And in the end, you know, they published these studies in The Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, and JAMA.
Right.
And they all had to pull the studies because they were fraudulent. And those are, you know, the studies that he and WHO and Gates commissioned. And they were clear. I mean, the fraud was so clear that Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine had to take the most humiliating steps in the century-long history of those journals. They published these things simultaneously with JAMA, which is the Journal of the American Medical Association. It had one, too. JAMA's was the worst because it was done in Brazil, and they gave the people three times the lethal dose of hydroxychloroquine. So they were literally killing people in order to demonstrate. And again, I don't see that this is susceptible to another interpretation, in order to demonstrate that hydroxychloroquine was deadly. Now, this is a drug that's been used for 65 years. It has been declared by WHO for at least half a century to be an essential medicine. A billion doses have been dispensed. It's used by people all over Africa, prophylactically, weekly. It's called in Africa, it's called Sunday, because everybody takes it on Sunday to protect themselves from the malaria for the week.
Right, yeah, I've read that.
Right, and so Fauci is trying to make the case that this is too dangerous to use for 1 week when you have people who are on it for their entire lives with no ill effects. A large population of the globe. It's the most prescribed medication on Earth. And he's now trying to make the case that it's too dangerous to use. It makes no sense. And he knows it. And, you know, this is the same thing he did in the 80s with AZT and that.
Yeah.
He's done throughout his whole career, which is to enrich the pharmaceutical industry and, you know, and make the rest of us sicker.
Why does the president listen to this guy? You've met with President Trump. You've been in meetings with Fauci. And what do you have any insights? It's a head scratcher for most of the people I talk to.
I don't think, you know what? I don't think that President Trump had the confidence to, in his own knowledge, to stand up to him. Because, you know, you have to sit down and you have to parse through the science and read it to get a certain confidence, and then to ask the right questions. You have to say, well, you know, here's these studies, show me your studies, and then you have to read them. And I don't think that was President Trump's approach to life. I think he had the right instincts, which is that, you know, people he trusted were telling him, Tony Fauci's lying. But to to pull the rug out from Tony Fauci without being able to, you know, really articulate how he was deceiving you, I think was a tough thing. It's a heavy lift. And I don't think that President Trump had the confidence in his own understanding of the issue. And, you know, I think most people don't want to read science, and they want to trust authorities, and they want to believe that people in authority are well-intended. But, you know, my dad told me when I was little, he said, people in authority lie. And our job in a democracy is to approach them with careful scrutiny and with a lot of skepticism. And, you know, as Reagan said, you trust and verify.
Yeah.
And that verification part of the process is not happening in the mainstream media or anywhere else. Nobody is actually there. You know, they're telling us masks work. You need to wear them. And you ask them why? Because Tony Fauci said so. And, you know, we need a lockdown. Why? Because Tony Fauci said so. Tony Fauci is not an expert on the economy. He can't tell us how many people are going to die from lockdowns, whether that's more people than are going to die from coronavirus if we don't lock down. And so, you know, this whole idea that we should trust technocrats is something that is, in its essence, anti-democratic. And people ought to know better. You know, people who are sort of devolving into this, trust the experts, if anybody tells you to trust the experts, you know, they are full of crap. And let me tell you why I say that. For 40 years, I've been suing voters. I have, you know, I've brought over 500 successful lawsuits against big polluters. And virtually all of those lawsuits, there were experts on the side of the polluters, and they were my experts. When we brought the Monsanto case, my wife came to the trial. The first trial she went to, she listened to Monsanto's experts, and she, you know, looked at me and said, "What are you doing here? These are people with great credentials. They teach at Harvard.
They're real flashy.
You know, they've got hundreds of publications, and, you know, they're saying that glyphosate doesn't hurt you. So why are you even here? You know, what do you?" And then she heard our experts. And then she saw us cross-examine their experts and completely destroy them.
Right.
And so, you know, there's two experts on every issue. That's why when you go to the doctor and he tells you you need surgery, you say, "I want a second opinion." Well, that's what I would say to Tony Fauci. I want a second opinion. And I want the opinion from somebody who has not spent their life serving slavishly the pharmaceutical industry.
Let's talk about liability real quick, because you brought up lawsuits. Do people have a recourse against their employers if they're coerced or forced to take this vaccine and then they become sick? Well, what's the liability with that?
That is an interesting question, because under the PREP Act and the CARES Act, these adult vaccines, as you know, Congress gave immunity to the vaccine companies in 1986 when it passed the Child Vaccine Act, but that only applies to children's vaccines. It does not apply to adult vaccines. And so this vaccine needed its own liability protection, and Fauci had that put into the PREP Act. But it deals mainly with people who administer vaccines and people who make the vaccines and market them, like, you know, the CVS, they give you the vaccine to protect it. And your nurse or doctor. But I'm not sure if somebody, you know, like the University of California, if it tells all the students you need a flu shot, and, you know, some of those kids end up getting Guillain-Barré, which is a fairly common side effect of flu shots. would they have a, so I would have to look at the CARES Act. I think the immunity in the CARES, I mean, the PREP Act is really broad. I think it says, it probably says like something anybody trying to implement countermeasures cannot be held liable for, you know, adverse impacts of those countermeasures. So, but it's an open question. I have not looked at it, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that at you because it's like, you know, they're going to say that's one of their driving forces. You can't come back to work unless you get the vaccine. And what happens if people get sick?
Everybody is worried that they're going to do mandates, but they're not going to do mandates right away. They're going to do soft mandates. They're going to give you a passport. And when you get that vaccine, and then everywhere you go, people are going to say, hey, show me the passport. I won't let you in, including your job, including the airline, including your school, including sports and bars. And, you know, and if they don't do that, then the question is, if you go in there and they're not checking passports at the door and you get sick from going in there, can you sue them?
Right.
You know, so that will be something that the boss is worried about. That if I don't, I need to do this. If I'm an airline, this is the responsible thing to do. And if I don't do it, I'll be liable for people who get sick. If you get on an airplane and there's somebody next to you, you know, who's sick, and you find out that airline is the one airline that's not checking vaccine passports, can you sue them? And so, you know, they have this whole thing wired, Mike, where they are going to be able to compel us to, you know, into slavery. Without ever passing a mandate, they're going to be able to mandate, do a soft mandate that is as hard as steel.
Well, if you're talking to somebody who didn't know anything about vaccines and they're saying, well, I'm going to go get vaccinated with this vaccine. And you had, you know, like your elevator pitch to say, hey, wait a second, think about this. What would you say to them
about the COVID dangers? Vaccine?
Yeah, about the COVID vaccine. Because there's a lot of people out there.
Well, I would just say what I said to you is they got to give this to 200 people to stop one mild case of COVID. And that it may be causing injuries, you know, at a much greater rate than 1 in 200. In other words, your chances, according to their own studies, your chances of getting injured by that COVID vaccine are virtually 100% of the Moderna version. And your chance of getting a serious injury, even if you take the smallest dose, is 6%. Your chance of being helped is 1 in 200 by the vaccine. So, you know, that's not a good risk-benefit analysis.
Brutal.
By the way, none of the vaccines prevent transmission that we know of. So what's the point?
That was my next question. What's the point? Yeah, 99.9 survival rate, and then they're I don't. It just seems like it's a,
well,
it's
you know
a
what?
Greed it's, thing.
Listen, depending on what the, you know, what we see on the safety data, one of the things is they don't have really good safety data for elderly people. Oh, the COVID, whatever it is, whatever COVID is, it leaves kids alone and it does kill elderly people.
Right.
At rates that are probably much larger than the seasonal flu. We're seeing, and we don't know why elderly are dying. Maybe the people who were locked in these nursing homes through ill-conceived,
right,
you know, government policies. But, you know, there are also comorbidities. And it's clear, you know, I have friends who are older people who've had this and, you know, have described it as the worst experience of their life and frightening and scary and everything else. So it definitely is out there and it definitely hurts older people. And the calculation for older people is very, very different than if you're under 50. If you're under 50, your chance of getting hurt by this are 0.00003. So that's 4 zeros and a 3. And, you know, that means they've got to give that many vaccines out, you know, 300,000 to prevent one case of serious injury or death. 300,000 vaccines. And so it probably makes no sense for younger people to get this, but it may, you know, there may be an argument if you've got diabetes, if you're obese, if you've got heart disease, if you've got other comorbidities, and you're older, and the calculation is going to be very different. But, you know, the idea of mandating this for young people is just criminal, because they don't have any risk from the disease, and they got a high risk from the vaccine.
Well, you and I have talked previously about what your father said, Robert F. Kennedy, what he said about verifying people and they lie. What? Why? With all this knowledge that you have and other studies, why do they keep pressing ahead with this when they know it hasn't been tested? It's likely not safe. It's going to cause problems. Why do these people in power, why are they shoving this down everybody's throat? That's another question I have.
Well, you know, and there's bigger questions too, which is, why is all of this weird stuff happening? You know, why are we being lied to about, you know, why are we getting data, real data?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, why aren't we being, why are they changing the, you know, the metrics for a cause of death on death certificates? Why did that happen? Why are they using PCR tests that they know don't work and cranking them up to, you know, to 35, 40 rotations? And
right.
Everybody agrees it's all false positives after that. And why are they telling us only the case rates without telling us the death rates? Why, you know, is everything that they do is designed to inspire terror and compliance? And you see it happening, you know, and, you know, I see it happening. I think if you're awake, why is nobody making an assessment of how many people died from the quarantine? Why aren't there people on CNN every night saying, okay, the COVID killed this many people today, and the quarantine killed this many people? There's 10,000 kids a month who are dying in Africa from the quarantine, 10,000 excess deaths from starvation. We put 16 million Americans into food insecurity because of this. We've closed, you know, half of these businesses, small businesses that we've closed down will never reopen. They're bankrupt. What does that do? How many suicides? How many drug addictions? How many mental hospital admissions? How many imprisonments? How many deaths from deferred medical procedures and checkups, you know, from heart attacks, from hypertension, from diabetes, from kidney dialysis, renal failure? How come we aren't seeing those statistics on TV every night? Why are we just being scared of COVID when there's other stuff out there that's a lot scarier?
It is a lot scarier.
Why is nobody talking about the cost of censorship to our society, our democracy, and all of these other costs that nobody seems to be evaluating? And that is, you know, I mean, I don't think if you're paying attention and you're not, you know, worried, there's something wrong with you, because this is not right. What's happening right now, and everybody senses it, you know, and everybody, there's people, there's no wonder there's conspiracy theories, because none of this makes any sense. The way that the government is behaving does not make any sense. You know, why aren't we looking at the mass studies? We've collected on our website, CHD's website, you know, probably 80 mass studies, and they all say masks don't work. Now, it doesn't mean they don't work, because nobody's really done good studies of COVID-19 and kind of masking policy. So it may be that they have some effect, but all the studies we've done to date, there's not a single peer-reviewed study that shows them working, that are placebo-controlled. And there are many, many dozens. there's a whole genre of hospital study. So, you know, the biggest hospital in London in 1982 said, we've been wearing masks for 100 years. Nobody really knows if they work. What we're going to do is do an experiment, and we're going to tell everybody in this hospital, even in the surgery theaters, take off your mask, don't wear a mask for 6 months, and then we're going to, you know, look at the metrics for deaths, infection rates. And what they found is that if you took the mask off, the infection rates dropped. The deaths in the hospitals dropped. And, you know, this isn't me making this up. Go to our website, read. And when I read that study, I thought, wow, this must be an anomaly. This is so, because I just assumed that in a hospital setting, this is mass work. You know, then we went and looked, and we found many, many other studies of hospital settings, and they all said the same thing. And then, you know, there's a whole other genre that says if you wear the mask, you get dental problems, dermatological problems, pulmonary right. problems, respiratory problems, heart problems, et cetera. So it's not cut and dry. You know, listen, I can't tell you whether masks work or not, because I don't think it's really been well studied. But to tell us, there is science behind this, and you do what you're told, that is a lie. And so what I want to hear the debate. I want to hear real people who are real scientists who are talking about this and debating it, and I want due process. I want notice and comment rulemaking. You propose a rule, you do an environmental impact statement on it, you do a regulatory and economic impact statement, you tell what your sources are, you cite the science, you get affidavits from experts, and then we get to cross-examine them. That's what every other rulemaking you do. And they just skipped that whole process here and said, this is an emergency, do what you're told. That's not American. Mike, I got to get going. I'm getting killed here.
Well, we'll do it again. And I appreciate it. Yeah, and we're, right, as things unfold, I'll look to you again. I try not to bother you.
No problem. Good to talk to you, Mike.
You too, man. Take care. See you. You may find yourself listening to this more than once, as I have. And I'll have to chop it up. We'll do some news stories on it next week to try to blow it out there and get the word out to people as best as we can. They're pushing this thing hard. And it's coming from all the way from the White House top down. I watched a lot of people on Friday night. President Trump put out a message like 10 o'clock at night last night. And he was saying, oh, the vaccine is ready to go. This and people were really upset about that message. They were very upset about it. And so they're going full bore. So we can debate at a later time why that's happening. But for right now, we know that it is happening. And we need to get the word out that try to educate people as best as possible. They scared people so much and freaked people out so much that people are going to be lining up for this and they don't even know why. And unfortunately, the effects, the side effects may not even be known. One of the side effects so far is I can't speak. The side effects might and probably will not even be known for years to come. As we've seen in vaccines gone bad for children, et cetera. And it's a dangerous time. It's a dangerous time. I think it's a dangerous time. And folks have to make a decision for their families, what's right and what's right for you. I think that one of the things I wanted to point out, I didn't want to say anything beforehand. One of the sticking points, and I've reached back out to Robert F. Kennedy, and I've reached out to other people that we're going to tackle this week when we'll peel this interview off at some point. I don't know when, but we're working hard on it because I want to get it out early and put some news stories about it as well. But one of the focuses is that can you... A main focus and a byproduct of this conversation we just had is, can we put the fear into employers about mandating this COVID vaccine. Can we let them know that, yeah, okay, if you force me to get a vaccine, as I asked Bobby Kennedy Jr., if you force me to get a vaccine and I get sick, can I come back and drop the hammer on you? I think the answer is absolutely yes. Unless Congress puts some kind of liability shield on these employers. But I don't think they can do that. I really don't think they can do that. And I think a good lawsuit and a jury would be able to get around it. If you can get this in front of a jury of your peers, they're going to say, this is bullshit. This company forced this person to have this vaccine and then they got really sick or died a wrongful death. Guess what? I talked to one of my buddies. We went out the other night, as I told you, on Pain in the Morning on Friday. He's a big wig and a big retail chain. And, and I'll give you another example. And I said, are you going to mandate vaccines for your employees? He said, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? You know the liability involved? I said, yeah, I do. I just talked to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. before I came here. He said, whoa, big man, talking to Kennedy. I don't get any respect from these guys, right? We've known each other 35 years. And I talked to another guy today, big executive in a major hotel chain, another fraternity brother, sent me some stuff for Christmas, and I called him back. He's out in Pittsburgh. He's a yinzer. He's going downtown. I asked him, what's going on? Are you guys going to have mandatory vaccines? He said, absolutely not. That's a legal nightmare for us. So this is the, this could be a way for the little man to strike back. And as you noticed in the interview, I asked Bobby Kennedy Jr. about it and he was stumped. So it's not often you can stump Bobby Kennedy Jr. So I'll take that as a feather in my cap. Although it's not really a feather in my cap, I have to be honest with you. I've gotten tons of emails from and messages from Maria Albanese all week, pressing that. Say, if you talk to Bobby Kennedy Jr., make sure you talk about the liability for employers. So, you know, I can't take credit for that. I can only take credit for asking him. Right. But she was pressing that like a crazy woman, and understandably so. She understands, just like VM understands things and sees things down the road, the end of the tunnel. Many of us are in the middle of the tunnel. We don't know where the hell we're at. They're at the end of the tunnel already. Say, are you guys still back there? Come on, let's go. So she gets credit for that. But it's a hell of, she also gets credit for stumping Bobby Kennedy Jr. So like I said before, earlier in the show, don't think you can make a difference out there. If you want to get something going or you want to get more active on social media or something, you know, I guess I encourage it as long as you act responsibly and tell the truth. What the hell? Can't hurt anything. You get a following, you get some people to listen to you. If you have something to share and you can make a difference, hell, why not? The problem is when these people get involved and they do that and they're just trying to make money and then they try to manipulate people because they understand that lying to people is much more profitable than telling them the truth. But guess what? I had these conversations with Mr. Kennedy. Those people don't get to talk to Bobby Kennedy Jr. because that guy has a whole staff who researches people's pedigrees to see if they're legitimate, illegitimate, if they actually are out on the internet causing problems, if they're probably employed by other people, millionaires and billionaires, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're happy to bring you that interview. I'll definitely chop it. I'm going to spend the weekend trying to chop it up and try to get as much impact as we can get out there. But I wanted to give it to you guys first. Folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And that's the way it goes. We appreciate your support. And it's been a game changer for us, really. It really has. And we'll continue to bring the heat as best as we can. I think it's going to be a very, very, very busy 2021. I thought like I said to you guys previously last week, I thought, stupidly, that we'd have some downtime in December. I was trying to pull back and do some things and just take it easy. It looks like it's going to be a bumpy, you know, another 18 days. It's going to be bumpy. Maybe after Christmas and New Year's, it'll slow down a little bit. But then at New Year's, it's going to crank right back up. And the focus here has been COVID, 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 COVID. And we'll mix in a little intel with the FBI and stuff like that. We have some stuff we're working on with the Bidens, but we're working on it. People have asked about that. When's that coming out, man? You're teasing us. I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm telling you what's coming out that we're working on. As you know, we serve no wine before it's time. So, hey, I hope you have a good rest of your Saturday into Sunday, and we'll see you back here in a few hours for Pain in the Morning. It comes fast. And I know you like the show because I got to get the music set. My light, my poor man's light show. I know that it was good. See, it reacts to the voice or the music. So every time I talk now, it flashes. This is high tech stuff, okay? It's all about the message, guys, and having a little bit of fun with the presentation. So we'll see you back soon. And hey, thanks a lot for your support on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. It goes a long way, and we are gracious. Take care, and God bless.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off down at the factory, and their timing's not the greatest in the world. Heaven knows I've been working hard. Wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here. If we make it through December, everything's gonna be alright, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine.